Blog Talk Radio.
Rest in peace, Parthenia Dukes, affectionately known as Petey. had the honor of celebrating her life Sunday night on the south side of my beloved Chicago. And I would be remiss if I did not open the show and dedicate this show in her memory. This is for you, Petey. Once again, welcome all to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network, coming to you live and direct from Chicago, USA. We've been going through quite a bit in my beloved city recently, as we've discussed on these airwaves in prior installments regarding the corruption and outright tyranny and chaos going on in my beloved city. But I digress. Before we continue, I need to take care of the particulars. If you all would like to, again, thank you. And once again, welcome to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. If you would like to join us in our efforts, you can reach us at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. And I assure you someone will get back to you once you leave your contact information, such as your name, a phone number, and an email. Be greatly appreciated, and we welcome all in this effort. Once again, I'd be remiss if I didn't, if you're just joining us, dedicating this show to Parthenia Dukes, who tragically passed away at the tender age of 32 years old. She'd be 33. She would have been 33 years old next month. I'm not going to go into details, but she should still be here with us. And this show is dedicated to Petey. I have a particular topic that I want to discuss tonight. And again, all are welcome to join us in our conversation tonight. If you want to contribute tonight to the conversation, the number to dial is 914-205-55, area code 914-205-5538. And you can reach us. And all you have to do is press 1 to join in the conversation. And you'll be entered into the host queue by pressing 1. And with that said, there aren't very many rules here in the Empowerment Zone. However, we do observe the Roberts Rule of Order. And what that is once you are done with your contribution, whether it be a question or perspective, just yield your time as a measure of kindness and respect, and to allow the other callers, guests rather, to retort. It's as simple as that. Pretty much the only rules here in the Empowerment Zone. You can say whatever the hell you want to say. Just be kind and respectful. That's all we ask, because we're in the business of building communities, building our community. The five premises of this particular edition on the Panther Party Radio Network is financial empowerment, and empowering the community, building the community. Activism, being proactive, preparedness, with a stringent emphasis on preparedness. Because, simply put, we ain't ready. We ain't ready. We ain't ready for what they're dropping on us. We are ill prepared in so many ways. So those are the I was distracted there with information. Those are the five premises of the Empowerment Zone. Again, here on the Panther Party Radio Network. Again, if you would like to join us in our efforts in the Panther Party, Radio Network, just leave your contact information at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Again, leave your contact information and someone will get back to you, I assure you. With all those particulars out of the way, much respect to all the listeners, everyone around the globe that's contributed, actually taking the time out to open their minds I just really want to thank everybody that's been the outpouring of positive feedback on these airwaves all the positive feedback for the shows on these airwaves from around the world, North America, the continent of motherland Africa, from the UK to the Asia Minor, in all points. Really, really can't thank you all enough for everything, for every bit of contribution that you've made as open-minded, revolutionary agents of change, which is which is a part of the construct of this particular show. As you all know, you've been following this show for the last couple of years, you know that our purpose is rooted in the people. And I don't overuse that word. Again, our purpose is rooted in the people, and this is what we do, why we do what we do here in the Empowerment Zone, and we are thrilled with every contribution. So again, I want to thank everyone that's chimed in. Again, the number to reach us is 914-205-5538. That's area code 914-205-5538. Just press 1 if you want to contribute with some perspective or question or whatever on the subject matter or whatever the Empowerment Zone is about, empowering. Please excuse my diction. I can assure you that whatever you want to discuss here in the Empowerment Zone is absolutely welcome. But tonight's topic, we particularly want to focus on as we continue to celebrate Black History, we want to continue to discuss the systematic racism in the college and professional ranks of sports and the glaring need for a major overhaul in hiring practices of minorities and women. Now, the reason why I picked this particular topic to discuss last week, unfortunately, we didn't have time to delve into it. We could only touch on it ever so much because of the interview with with the distinguished Dr. J.D. Mash last week. We only had a little bit of time to touch on it. However, tonight we're really going to delve into it. And I also want to, before I really get into this, I want to give thanks to, and I know my man, I'll just say my friend Todd from the Institute of Diversity and Ethics in Sports. I want to really give a shout out to Todd for his input and all of his information and essentially the report card from Tides, not the wash detergent, not the laundry detergent, but TIDES, Tides, the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sports. I want to give a shout out to them for all of their information and in research and all the information provided by my good friend Todd over there, which is again thanks to Tides, and we'll get more into that as we go on into the show. And the reason why I'm pick this particular subject matter, the reason why I had this subject matter in mind is because, first of all, I have a passion for sports. My life has been surrounded by sports. My escape from the perils of growing up in the hood on the South Side, my escape was athletics, was sports. Go to where I didn't have to focus on anything but getting better at whatever I was doing. If I didn't have anything to focus on but getting better in whatever competition level I was at. And I had three sports that I was passionate about, three particular sports that I was passionate about. Not a runner per se. I mean, I run in training, obviously. I run playing basketball, obviously. Run playing any sport for the most part. But I'm not a runner, per se. My passion was swimming because I have had this ability as a youngster, and I excelled in swimming to a large degree. Also, I had a passion for baseball. And, of course, basketball. Everybody. I grew up with ballers. Everybody in my family. My children. My nieces, nephews, my aunties, my sisters, my brothers. My grandmother. The baller. Everybody ball. Basketball, I need, that is. So sports has been an integral part of my life. Again. An escape. For many in the black community, sports, again, an integral part of your livelihood, because sports can be a way out of the trauma of the hood. And many have excelled. I'm just using myself as an example and sports. And the reason why I chose this particular topic tonight to discuss because of the impact that sports has. We've had many examples of people who, from sports, from athleticism, have become captains of industry. Moguls, if you will. Even if they're an athlete, they pursued other, these athletes have pursued other and have excelled in other industries outside of sports. But part and parcel to their athletic ability, it propelled them to excel. It propelled them to other heights, if you will. One example is LeBron James. LeBron James, one of the greatest basketball players ever, one of the greatest athletes, and I'm not going to put in, I'm not going to do a top 20 or no shit like that, but one of the greatest athletes of all time. But what most people don't know is that this brother has become a mogul, has become a major figure in education, in media. Just using LeBron as an example of what sports, the impact of sports and what it's done for us in the black community. Reason why I brought this topic up. I have a daughter. I have four children. All of my children are athletic to some degree, as I mentioned before. My father played for an infamous basketball team. I got a brother that's just a couple of years younger than me, running basketball games with teenagers. So, come from an athletic background. Again, my passionate athletic sports, if you will, are swimming, basketball, and baseball, in no particular order. But I excelled at swimming to a large degree, to an occupational degree. As a black man, being a swimmer in a world of white swimmers, man, do I got some stories for you. I was trained by Navy SEALs. That when they saw that my little black ass was swimming, when they understood that I was from the south side of Chicago, and they would say to me, "We're going to drown your black ass," I had no recourse but to defy them, which I did. And I was trained by these guys, and I endured so much. But I digress. The reason why I'm bringing all this up is to draw, or rather to paint a picture as to the subject matter tonight and what these athletes, the impact of sports and the overall impact and the glaring need for a major overhaul in hiring practices in minorities and women, of minorities and women, that is. I want to also include, and again, I'm going to give a few more examples, and if y'all would bear with me, and I really appreciate you tuning in to the Pep Party Radio Network. Again, the number to reach us is area code 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. I'm using these examples again, and all this is gonna all this correlates into a specific reason why we're having this particular discussion tonight, and why and again why I outline the premise, the five premises of this particular show, the Empowerment Zone, and reparations. Yes, I said reparations. Yes, that was a pregnant pause. The reason why I say reparations is because, and how all of this, what I'm outlining tonight, is correlating, will correlate to reparations and the need for and the ignorance of, the ignorance of, and maybe in some people's eyes, maybe we don't need reparations from the government per se. You know, there've been so many headlines recently, especially, you know, this is the week after the Super Bowl. No more football. Everybody got football blues now. So this is the week after the Super Bowl, and all the headlines included in the 2 weeks of Super Bowl hype was Brian Flores, the names of Brian Flores, who was essentially suing the NFL. The other news was the lack there of black coaches, black head coaches in the NFL, and how, including in these same headlines, how only one team of the 32 had one black head coach. It was paramount, big headline, controversy in the civil suit against, or rather the class action suit to come. So you have a suit from a former head coach that was fired for doing his job, and then you have then you add on a class action suit from other assistant coaches, black assistant coaches in the league. Again, the reason why I'm bringing all this up, and the reason why this is relevant to reparations, and I'm going to go back to that word. I'm going to use that word again. And again tonight, to drive home. You have so many distractions that are involved. You have so many people that have an agenda and do not want any kind of diversity in the ranks of professional or collegiate sports, for that matter. And if there weren't laws enacted, trust me, there would be hardly any men or women of color on the sidelines in the capacity of coaching, because that fraternity is so strong. I've been around sports my whole life. My whole adult life, I've been around professional and collegiate sports. Know a lot of people, been around a lot of people, influencers. I know a lot of people, and again, why I picked this particular subject. I'm passionate about sports. I'm passionate about our people and what we contribute, our people contribute to these games, to this industry, whether it be basketball, baseball, whatever sport, everything that we contribute and the impact. And again, through sports has legends been made in more than sports. The impact of athleticism in other industries. Another example, not black, but I'll just use another example. Arnold Schwarzenegger, bodybuilder, fucking weightlifter. Not even born in this country. Governor of California. Just a sample size example of sport and its impact and what athleticism can do and the impact that it can make outside of sports. Again, the reason why we're discussing this evening. Because looking at all these examples of the hiring practices of NFL in contrast to what it's really ironic and hypocritical or whatever you, just my opinion, but it's just the NFL's hiring practices in contrast to, let's just say, Major League Baseball, which is in a flux of its own right now, but counting the labor issues that baseball is having right now, I just want to focus on their hiring practices with minorities and women in contrast to the NFL. Because in Major League Baseball, for example, and I told you I was going to use many examples tonight to drive my point home. The New York Yankees have a minor league manager that's a Puerto Rican woman. There's another baseball team, Major League Baseball team, that has an affiliate that has a woman of color as a general manager in a major league organization, GM. Baseball also has a number of women of color in executive positions to look very far. If you look up the Los Angeles Dodgers, you'll see the diversity in their executive hiring. If you look on the board of the Los Angeles Dodgers, you'll see a number of women of color. Again, I'm just using baseball as a barometer, if you will, in comparison to the NFL. Let's move on to the NBA, which I'm sure many of our listeners, many followers of this show, are familiar with NBA. And my beloved Chicago iconic Chicago Bulls have been a catalyst for impacting the league. So in so many ways, obviously starting with Michael Jordan, the likes of D. Rose. Legend. up from a executive standpoint, here in Chicago, there have been a number of hirings of people, women, particularly women of color, that are instrumental in the operations of an NBA, of an iconic NBA franchise, are doing well. Again, using sports as a springboard to greater heights. At one time, the San Antonio Spurs of the NBA had a woman as a head coach. Yeah, that's right. I know when I was a kid, 1974, when I was 10 years old, I had no idea that there would be a woman as a head coach of the Spurs. Now, I remember who the Spurs were back in 1974. They were fucking ABA team with George with the Iceman, George Gervin. Team had a woman as the head coach. There's other professional sports and franchises, rather, there's other professional franchises that have a more diverse hiring practice than the NFL. And the reason why I'm singling out the NFL and I'm using all these other leagues to make it as an example is simply because the NFL has surpassed, football has surpassed my beloved baseball as the national pastime. It surpassed it to such a degree that that Super Bowl Sunday is practically a holiday, an unwritten holiday. So with the impact that sports has, I feel it's my due, and the passion that I have for sports, and along with many other factors, the reasons why I feel that this is a pertinent issue is simply because we have been overlooked, maligned, vilified, and downright canceled. You know, we live in a cancel culture now. We've been canceled. And a lot of our athletes have gone unnoticed with the contributions that they've made under the, you know, on the down low. Maybe I shouldn't have said use that particular term because I know that's a lot of athletes have made contributions that we're unaware of, but because of I'll use Antonio Brown as an example. You know, somebody that's vilified and for a litany of reasons, but that brother has made contributions outside of the spotlight that we're unaware of, and I mean philanthropic contributions. Again, using this as an impact, using these as an example of the impact that sports makes. I know I've been rambling. Again, the number to call is 914-205-5538. That's area code 914-205-5538. To reach out, just press 1 to be entered into the host queue. And I will open up your mic. And just please remember that we recognize or observe, rather, the Robert's Rule of Order, and just be kind and respectful. And once you're done with your question or perspective or whatever you have to say, just yield your time as to allow a retort and to be respectful and kind, not to create any waves. And also to allow fluid dialogue to get to the bottom and to rather to get to the top of this mountain. So with that said, when we come back from the break, we're going to continue to discuss. We're going to continue to discuss the systematic racism in the college ranks, and I'm going to continue to give you more examples of where people have achieved, our people have achieved, and the fact that we have such a long way to go, but there are some bright spots and some things to look forward to, and some progress being made. And we're going to continue to focus on that and to get to the point about reparations and how all this is necessary and how this talking point is necessary. You've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We're going to take a short break. And as I mentioned before, when we come back, we're going to continue this to discuss this. I see you, bro. I see you, man. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, man. Yes, sir. Thank you. When we get back, we're going to continue to discuss this because I really think that this is important as to point out the impact that sports, and it's something, again, that I've been passionate about my entire life, that I've been embroiled in, or entrenched in, rather, my entire life, and I have the opportunity to discuss this, and just from my perspective, and I want to know, and I'm curious as to know what you think. 914-205-5538. We'll be back in a minute on the Panther Party Radio Network. You're listening to the Empowerment Zone. Call number. We'll be back.
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that black lives matter, but truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your books and history books. But honestly, it ain't just black. It's yellow, it's brown, it's red. It's anyone who ain't got cash. Poor white, that they call trash. We realize we're all on the same side. They can't split us up.
know they'll sue their ass. They can tell who to fuck with. Unfortunately, black or brown skin is always meant for. They're profiling you, kid. They know you can't fight back, but we're about to.
Investigators say they are reviewing body camera and dash cam video of Tuesday's shooting. Police say that Keith Lamont Scott did have a gun in his hand when an officer shot him. A new picture of the scene shows something at Scott's feet. A source tells our Charlotte affiliate it may be a gun, but people in the neighborhood say that the father of four was holding a book instead.
Officer Vincent was in plain clothes when the shooting happened, and he was not wearing a body-worn camera, but we are told that three other officers were there. The department is under increasing pressure to release police videos from the shooting, but the police chief says they will not do that right now because of the investigation.
Don't fall for the bait and switch! Racism is real, but not here! They fuck whoever can't fight back! But now we gotta change all that! The people have had enough! Right now it's them against us! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, no life matters! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, no life! This shit is ugly to the core. When it comes to the poor, no life matter.
Peace. Welcome back to the Problem Zone on the Pathfinder Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Higgins. Tonight we've been discussing, and also we've been continuing to celebrate Black History, as well as discuss the continued systematic racism in the college and professional ranks of sports and a glaring need for a major overhaul in hiring practices of minorities and women. And the reason, again, why, if you're just tuning in, the reason why we're discussing this particular issue tonight is simply because it all reverts, and as you know, you've been following this show over the last couple of years, everything has point, and every subject matter in the Empowerment Zone is meant to meld into a purpose. And again, the purpose, our purpose, is rooted in the people, and that's what we're discussing. And how all this melds into reparations. And the question of whether or not we need reparations in some way establish a platform, if you will, if for no other reason we need to what I wanted to really focus on regarding the reparation. And I guess I should have prefaced this earlier in the show, because simply here in the Empowerment Zone, what we do is try to raise the level of consciousness of the people to the degree where we can connect with like-minded people to finally put in an infrastructure and lay out, you know, a basis for a new reality, not this mindfuck media, mindfuck matrix that we're trapped in. You know, this is a means of, you know, the knowledge that we gain, that we share with each other, is a means of escape. You know, that's the real freedom, the peace of mind, you know, escaping from this matrix of alternative universe, this false reality, all the discussions that we have on this network. Again, what we do is try to raise the level of consciousness to the people to such a degree where we can really make a connection with like-minded people and finally put in place infrastructure, a real infrastructure to lay out a base for a new reality. And highlight that word reality, man, because again, the reality, you know, everybody's reality ain't the same, but we share this same reality, this matrix, if you will. So again, we build this infrastructure for this new reality. That new reality really equals the real freedom, real peace of mind. So when we talk about freedom, that's what we're talking about, peace of mind. That's the real freedom. When you've escaped the matrix, when you've escaped the alternate reality, when you can find that center, whatever means it takes to find that center. And I'm not trying to get into no philosophical, theoretical type shit. I'm just being real. Again, the purpose of this empowerment zone is rooted in the people. And what we try to do is raise the level of consciousness of the people in order to create this infrastructure, lay out a fucking platform so we can get to this reality that we all dream of, that our ancestors been dreaming of. Not their reality, but our reality. That peace of mind, that real freedom. And that's why I think it's important that we have this discussion in particular, because we're seeing, you know, instead of, you know, we're so worried about getting all these great jobs, head coaching jobs and jobs of, you know, these executive jobs working for the man, when we could be creating our own shit. We don't manufacture a damn thing, but pooling ourselves together, pooling all of our resources together, as we've discussed on these airwaves many times, we pool our own resources, and we got many that we don't take advantage of because we're so damn selfish and hateful. We got many resources that we don't take advantage of, but if we just pool some of them together, we can have our own, and we wouldn't have to ask for shit. You know, Kyrie Irving from the Brooklyn Nets was one of the first ones to suggest a league of our own. I've been saying that for years. Players have been saying that for years. But for some reason, haven't been able to escape that matrix. And I mean that matrix of the dollar bill. Sound like Bernie Mac good. Dollar bill. I'm just saying, we haven't been able to escape, rest in peace, Bernie Mac, Michigan King. We haven't been able to escape that matrix, that dollar bill matrix. But Kyrie Irving said something about starting the league of our own. That would be a measure of manufacturing to some degree, in my opinion. I mean, because, you know, we don't own any energy companies. We don't make refrigerators or automobiles, or, you know, we don't run CERN. We barely have colleges and universities. So we really don't manufacture anything. But starting something like that by pooling resources, viable resources together, then we can begin to have some measure of manufacturing, something that we can call our own and develop. And infrastructure. With that said, I'm going to open up the mic. Again, the number to reach us is 914-205-5538. If you want to contribute tonight on the subject matter or whatever you like to discuss, you're welcome. Microphones are open. I see you, brother. Waiting so patiently. Thank you for thanks for calling in. Mic's open, 505. Peace, brother, what's good?
What's going on, bro? I'm just listening, but I will add something to what you said about, the manufacturing things, because we don't make anything, and that is a big problem, especially if we're talking about trying to create our own society within a society. And we don't have any of those things locked down that we can say, all right, we actually have some resources. You know, should we acquire the land, that we actually have these resources and that they're already ready to work together so that we actually do have our own infrastructure and some manufacturing and all of those things. The when you were speaking about getting the league, that's something that they've talked about for years because of all of the racism that's within sports. All of the major sports, hockey, football, basketball, baseball, all of them, have benefited to some extent from acting as if they're trying to level the playing field. But truly leveling the playing field would mean making it possible that another league could even exist. And what I've seen with all of these leagues were they swallowed up all the smaller ones, especially those that were black affiliated, put them under their realm, restructured how they would be paid and everything, with only in mind that these people would never think to go create their own league. And the funny thing
Major
is,
League Baseball killed the Negro League.
And for my lifetime, they have been successful at this. They have, the sneaker contracts and stuff, commercials and stuff, supplemented a lot of them's income. But for the average guy that was just there to do the sport and everything else, it really didn't benefit them, yet they were part of the reason why the stadiums were being filled and these arena owners got wealthier and wealthier to the point that they've closed it down. I don't think they would allow another league to use their arenas without charging them through the ass to do it in order to keep those leagues weak. I just don't see them doing it. So unless we're ready to start finding other places to do it or creating our own arenas for those type of events, a league of our own, so to speak, I just see all of those sports leagues getting together to make sure that that did not happen. I don't see them even wanting to allow that to happen. I mean, it's nice that they have, someone told me a long time ago that they thought that we were equal because of so many players in sports being rich, instantly rich in some cases. And, even some of them, like Magic Johnson, taking that and moving forward with that and creating even way more of a fortune than he ever got with basketball. But there's only a few that's like that. Not a lot of the league players are financially smart that way. So a lot of them are not going to get that. And to be honest with you, those are the guys who I would be looking at. Rather than trying to buy into the Dodgers, why not create a league of your own? If you're going to spend all that money with them, why not spend it with them? But once again, the system does not teach you to be independent. The system teaches you to be dependent on the system, even when you're the one supporting the system and it's not supporting you. Welcome to America. I'm done, bro.
Right on, bro. Right on, man. Man, 100. For real. And when you said Magic Johnson, I don't know if you heard in the opening, I mentioned the impact that being an athlete, because you can be an athlete has turned into has been made a mogul, and then their mogulship, if you will, has gone way outside of the sports spectrum, you know, and I use LeBron James as an example, where he's got, you know, media aspirations and education, you know, philanthropy and other enterprises way outside of sport. So I was using those guys, and then you brought up Magic Johnson. So and you look at I'm just using those two guys as an example of how being an athlete can propel you, your impact can propel you into so much more than sports, and make an impact. Because I know for sure. I mean, you look at Starbucks coffee. That's Magic Johnson. You look at the movie theater. That's Magic Johnson. You look at the media, the production company, and the fashion line. That's all Magic Johnson. You know, and I'm not.
Yeah, but Magic's only worried about Magic Johnson's family and the people that work for him.
We got to pool these resources, these viable resources, that there's other moguls that are doing stuff, but that are building the community way outside of sports.
How many of them have you honestly heard working together at on anything?
No,
I mean, Byron Allen, owns the Weather Channel, which is on everybody's phone. It's on all the cables, all of that. He's a billionaire. You know, he's a billionaire. You got a few of them out there. Bob Johnson sold BET, sold out, got him a billion. You got a few. You can put these 10 billionaires in the same room, but the only thing that makes them resourceful is if they're going to work together to actually do some things. I was bothered when they built the center, the Brooklyn Center. I was bothered that you're going to put something into this, in the Barclays Center. Yeah, you're putting something in the neighborhood that these people, most of the people who live in Brooklyn and whose tax dollars will be supporting this building, they can't even afford to get the season tickets or even a game sometimes. So it's not fair, you know, but it's there for those who are doing well and who can afford to go and enjoy it. They'll be able to go and have a great time at the Barclays Center, while there's a lot of people who this has a negative impact, you know. It wasn't a positive thing, and it's like they didn't care. They were looking at the money that it would generate, the events they could hold there. Those were the things that mattered. So if it's not really these guys, I don't really see them as resources until they actually do want to work together and start looking at things they can do that will be impactful. But till then, they just guys getting money off everybody else. I mean, Magic, you know, he's diversified. Jordan, he got his 10% or whatever from the what? Jordan brand sneakers have made more than $20 billion. He gave him $1.6 billion. Who got played? and it's his name on the damn sneaker. You know, so it's like, you know, but I mean, he's not going out of his way to say, well, I can take $600 million and we're going to put that into something that's going to be beneficial for the youth. And we're going to have these programs in as many places that we can put them up. They're not thinking along those lines. They're all worried about keeping as much of their money as they can, so they vote Trump.
If they vote, for that matter. But listen, I wanted to, when you talked about, you brought about, and I'm going to open up my man's mic as well, because I know he's been waiting ever so patiently, and I really appreciate you, bro. My bad, because I really wanted to hear Brother Melvin's perspective
right.
on this, because, again, pooling the resources that I know that are available, and like you said, you know, brothers ain't trying to separate themselves from their money like that. You know, they have their philanthropy, and then that's that. They got to take care of, you know, home, right? I get that. But there are people that are willing to just need to bring these people together in order to at least begin to build on this infrastructure that's desperately needed, because everything else it don't matter. How you gonna with no infrastructure, with no foundation, you got nothing. And welcome to the show, brother man. I'm sorry to keep you on hold so long. 682. My man must not be available right now. But brother Kevin, we can continue this, man. And I contend that there are these resources, and I know a lot of these players. You know, I've been in this business for a long time, and I know how these players think, and I know what they want to do, and they're good. They're good people, man, and they want to do more. I see here in Chicago, bro, how they make such an impact with their contributions that nobody knows about. And yeah, you're right. You know, players been saying this for years, trying to unionize and trying to, but until somebody builds, like you said, somebody builds the stadium, if Robert Johnson or Puffy or somebody built the fucking stadium, then what? Is it all in? Is everybody going to be all in then? Is Magic Johnson going to give up his minority share of the Dodgers to support a black franchise? I don't know. But I think it's necessary, and it's also necessary. I mean, again, the reason why I feel it's necessary to start to use this as a measuring stick, or rather some measure of manufacturing, as in creating jobs and other aspects of industry, in manufacturing. Is some measure of manufacturing is because look how much we've been begging for these jobs, man. Fuck begging for a job. Make your own. That's all I'm saying. That's been my quest. And the fact that the Yankees and I think the Miami Marlins and the Houston Astros in baseball all have women of color in high executive positions,
But that move doesn't, to be honest with you, I'm not trying to shit on it. It's a great that they're there, but they're being there, it's being there is no benefit. to us. It's a benefit to the company that they're working for, be it the Marlins
exactly.
or whoever.
They're filling that fucking quota in affirmative action bullshit,
right.
and that means less. That means you got to hire less niggas. Now that you hired this woman of color from Puerto Rico or Venezuela, now you ain't got to hire no niggas because you hired this.
All of these leagues fought against integration. Every one of them fought integration. So for all of them to now hire, and you know, it's like when I found out the true rule for them interviewing the black coach. Now that all the teams are required to interview at least one black coach, but there's no provision that states that the team has to hire him. So a lot of times, by the time they interview the black coach, they've already decided who they want. They just have to keep that mandate going so they do it, so they can say they did it, and they were in compliance with this NFL rule. However, doesn't guarantee anything, and, you know, they're going to always have that one or two they'll point out, you know, we're not racist. It's only 30 coaches and, you know, about four of them or black, and hell, one of them, he's been coaching for a while now. And that's a stock answer, and it's fine. And it's not fine. You know, the last thing I want to hear any more of is the first black to do this or the first black to do that. That shit means nothing. Because I just watched something, and this is crazy shit. They had a syndrome called the Blue Baby Syndrome that was going on in the 40s. 40s to the 50s. There's a young black man. You can Google him. His name is Vivian Thomas. Vivian Thomas was a high school graduate who was actually what you would call just naturally inclined. He really wanted to be a doctor. But he lived, you know, where he lived in the South, that wasn't happening. But he was actually very good at what he did. He practiced how to do sutures and everything. So there was a doctor, white doctor named Blaylock. Now, Dr. Blaylock, and he hired Vivian Thomas as his janitor to work there. And Vivian Thomas and him kind of got a little bit of a relationship. They were, you know, somewhat cordial. But he knew that this guy knew what he was doing when it came to these sutures for him to have no real true medical training. He even gave him the idea on how to do a heart surgery, which is what was saving these blue babies. The blue babies were having an issue getting oxygen. This young black man figured out a way to move one of the arteries into the lung where it would be able to get more oxygen into the blood. The babies would stop being blue. They would start turning back to that little rosy pink look number that they need them to be. So anyway, Blaylock is seeming like a giant in the game. Johns Hopkins, Baltimore. You know, so they, you know, and now he has his guy working with him. Vivian Thomas is right there. Because whenever this guy's doing a surgery, Vivian Thomas is standing over his sole shoulder. So he's like a surgeon without actually being a surgeon. And because he's black, they won't allow him to have the privileges that some of the other people who work there have. It took almost 40 years for them to finally acknowledge that he single-handedly had changed the way that they did surgeries. And actually, they had started training others to do it the way he had showed this guy to do it, and this did not come out of any medical journal at all. It actually went in.
Pediatric. Now he was the pediatric heart surgery.
He didn't become a doctor, an actual doctor, until later in life, and even then, you know, the amount of time it would have took him to get to that surgeon level, he would have been like, you know, like damn near 70, 80 years old. So, you know, his family kind of tripped when they found out what they had did was some people at Johns Hopkins, finally, it took about 40 years for their guilt to hit, and they decided to give him credit and get his picture up on the wall as one of the greats that helped make the place, even though at the time he couldn't even come in through the front door. So I guess it is, does come down to perspective sometimes. You know what I mean? Because they're
Indeed.
Willing to use
Indeed.
That man to further their goal and never thought about the fact that his expertise provided all of them financial security and everything else, and he still had to struggle knowing that they didn't even invite him to the celebrations. None of that shit. And he's the reason they had something to celebrate.
And so that's the whole point, bro. When I was saying, fuck asking him for these head coaching jobs and all these top flight executive positions. You make your own, start your own fucking shit. And you ain't got to ask them for a goddamn thing.
But I know players have been trying to do this for a long time.
And the constraints of the almighty dollar to keep these niggas in line, I totally get it, man. But it's long past.
They spend more to keep you in line than you can spend to get out of it. That's why crime is so prevalent, because everybody feels the more money they have, the more access to money they have, the better their life will be. But when you're black in America, especially if you're poor, then you start thinking, wow, it's going to take me three times the effort to get there that it takes the white kid, you know? So, you know, a lot of them say, fuck it, I'm not going to do that. They'll take the easy road, and the easy road is there for a reason. It takes you straight to hell or to jail. But it's right there. All I got to do is step out the door and talk to the person.
Road to hell is paved with good intentions.
So a lot of people aren't really prepared to run their own business because, for one, they've been too busy having to worry about surviving all the time to stop and actually think what they might like to do and what they might be good at. We don't get a lot of that relaxed time to contemplate that shit.
You know, so one of the things, this is what I got to tell everybody. One of the reasons why I brought this whole subject up, when I saw that the Saudi royalty got their own golf shit, and they're inviting, they're trying to steal players, they're trying to rather lure players from the fucking PGA to their PGA, to their shit. So they got the money and the infrastructure, how come we can't get that? That's all I'm saying, man. Because they're gonna give Tiger Woods $250,000 just to show up for an hour. Come on, man. They got the kind of grip. They got that grip, and we can't get that. We can't pull together. I don't think it's. I don't think it's impossible. Maybe I'm being too hopeful. I don't know. But Melvin, your mic open. I don't know if you're available, but if not, just know that your mic is open, brother man. And you can chime in whenever you feel like it. Again, I don't think it's impossible. We can do quite a bit, pool these resources together. There's been so many, again, the appeasement of the people to continue the propaganda and the exploitation, I should say, as we've discussed on these airwaves, the continued exploitation of the people and having people begging for jobs had people begging for jobs where the likelihood of them being a 20-year, you know, the likelihood of, especially in the NFL, the likelihood of being fired in your first 5 years of your contract is a good 80%, depending on your win-loss record. So there's not a lot of stability there. So, again, begging for these jobs where you're probably going to get fucking fired. Yeah, you're getting paid, but you're probably going to get fired, and they're going to hire somebody that's way less qualified and more than likely a retread to replace that brother or sister. Again, if you just tuning in earlier in the show, I outlined the many men and women of color that have had head coaching experience in the various leagues, with the exception of baseball. There has not been a woman, a female manager in the big leagues yet. But earlier in the show, I did outline the various coaches. There's also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that there are a number of female assistant coaches in the NFL, as well as the collegiate ranks in football, as well as men's and women's basketball, collegiate men's and women's basketball, number of assistant coaches of color. But again, my point is asking, begging, going to court, pleading for these jobs. You know, Jackie Robinson didn't beg for that job. I dropped Jackie Robinson because, and I'm using that as an example. I'm keeping this real, this empowerment zone. I'm keeping this fucking real. Get begging for these jobs where you're eventually going to get fucking fired. And they show you how much you really mean. And I use a couple of names. In the last 30 or so minutes before we put a bow on this show, I'm going to point out a couple of names as examples of how they really feel about you, and how these billionaire owners, they got all the money in the world, and you are throwaway. Lovie Smith, who only took the Chicago Bears to the Super Bowl, who only changed the franchise. That Lovie Smith changed an embarrassing Chicago Bears franchise into a Super Bowl contender within a couple of years. Tony Dungy. These two coaches, black head coaches, face each other in the same Super Bowl. An epic Super Bowl that Prince did halftime show. One of the greatest Super Bowls ever. Unfortunately, my beloved Bears lost to Tony Dungy and his Indianapolis coach, Peyton Manning. But two black head coaches, one of them fired, one of them retired in Super Bowl glory. That would be the likes of Tony, the legendary Tony Dungy, who at one time played for the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes. Another coach, the only black head coach in the NFL right now, Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh Steelers, never had a losing season. But you can't hire, if you hire and fire all these other black coaches, never had a losing season. Just using these brothers as an example. Leslie Frazier, another guy, been on Super Bowl teams, been coaching Super Bowl teams, played on a Super Bowl team. He was a Super Bear. He was on the 1985 Chicago Bears. Super Bear. Another Super Bear. Ron Rivera, a Mexican, or Latinx, if you will. Renowned coach. Took his team to the Super Bowl. Lost. Took his team that had a black quarterback to a Super Bowl. They lost. Just saying. Using those gentlemen as an example of black coaches, black or coaches of people of color, men of color, that have coached in the NFL that were easily dismissed or, well, with the exception of Mike Tomlin and Tony Dungy, who retired in glory again, and Mike Tomlin, who's still the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the others were easily dismissed by their teams. And I know the Super Bowl team that Ron Rivera coached, he was fired from there, and he was hired by one of the worst owners in the NFL, Dennis Snyder. He was hired by the Washington Now. Formerly the Washington Redskins, formerly or a.k.a. the Washington football team, now known as the Washington Commanders, Ron Rivera, former Chicago Bear, former Charlotte, rather Carolina Panthers head coach, is now the coach of the Washington Commander franchise, and he is a Mexican-American that played for the Bears at one time. Just using these gentlemen as an example of how the black coaches have been easily dismissed. And then, as Brother Kevin so eloquently said earlier, how made it very clear that the only reason they hire women is to fill a quota. So with that said, the entire purpose of discussing this particular issue is because if we could create something and establish something that we could call our own and manufacture something that's viable, then you can create a new reality base. And I hope that I really don't think that, again, begging for these jobs ain't the answer, you know. So we pay too great a price to keep begging. Aren't you sick of asking? I mean, as a black man in this country, as many demands that are thrust upon the black experience, ain't you tired? Is you tired of asking? I mean,
yeah.
When is it going to be time for us to make our demands? I mean, isn't it past time? Aren't you tired? Ain't you tired? Because the demands on the black, demands of being a black man in America, is again, it's a demand. And it includes so many things that most people don't have the intestinal fortitude to withstand. But we do it on a daily basis. Man, my question is, it's tired of asking. I mean, because these jobs, I mean, yeah, they high-paying jobs. I get it. It's prestige, as Dr. J.D. Mass talked about last week, that word prestige. They're prestigious jobs. For God's sake, the coach of the Alabama football team is the highest paid. He makes more than the governor of Alabama. He's the highest paid state employee. But yet we begging for these kind of jobs. Why?
Deal open.
Yes, sir.
Can
yes,
you
sir.
Hear me?
Welcome, man. Peace, brother. Yes.
Please.
Come on in.
Yeah, I was.
How you doing, bro?
Having dinner. I'm good. I just been listening. Just wanted to jump in. I agree. I haven't watched football since the Kaepernick situation popped off, and I've been saying, damn the NFL for about 5 years now. Just an effortless thing that I'm doing, not watching football, not supporting that mess. Even if they have every black famous person ever perform at the halftime show, I wouldn't give a damn. That's just to try to draw people back into the fold.
It's a trap situation with the
black
right.
coach that's suing the league right now. And I was reading earlier where I think it was the Pittsburgh Steelers that offered him a job as the defensive coordinator, but that's the whole thing. I mean, it's like, for me anyway, and this is just my opinion, and I've said this several times, because I think that Ice Cube has created a perfect format with his league, the 3-on-3 league, and it's growing every year. And I think that's a possible format because of the simple reason it gives the players a chance to market themselves and make money without any middleman, per se. And like I say, Ice Cube's league is growing. And the thing is, I mean, just like before the NBA was popular, the ABA was more popular than the NBA because the ABA had athletes.
Yes, they had stars, more. George Gervin.
The ABA. Yeah, the ABA had more talent base, honestly. The best thing that the NBA ever did was to buy out the ABA, because had they not bought out the ABA, the NBA would not have. I don't even think the NBA would be around today had they not been able to buy out the ABA. But that, too, is
much
just
like
a testament.
The NFL merger in 19.
Right. That's just a testament to our talent and our overall power. And then, just like right now with the NFL, it's over 70% black. So if the black athletes were to leave, the NFL wouldn't. I mean, it would dissolve, and that's the. I think a lot of times we don't see the value in ourselves. We overlook that, and then we let someone else, you know, take that value that we bring. And they monetize it, and they build their generational wealth on it. And like I say, a lot of times we just have to Because the thing is, we always start with nothing. Tulsa, Oklahoma started with nothing. Slocum, Texas started with nothing. Ocoee, Elaine, all the towns and things that we brought into existence, nobody gave us anything to help get it started. Started by our ancestors with nothing. And I think that we have to get back to a point of wanting something, first of all, and I don't think enough of us actually want something. You said something earlier that I've been saying ever since this pandemic started, because the pandemic showed me a lot of things, and it showed me that we had nothing, and even when times get tough, we're going to have to still be relying on a system that's going to give us nothing at all. I mean, what this system done for its citizens during this pandemic was shameful compared to what other countries did. And I don't see, I mean, I'm really big on this now, because I don't see why it is that we keep trying to mix and mingle with those who don't even consider us on their level. And we're not on their level. We're far more superior than we've been given credit for. But we just don't use our resources to our advantage. We give away our resources to those who want to keep us with our backs against the wall. I mean, and like I say, the whole sports and all that crap, I mean, why do we bust our asses for 19, 20 years to perfect a sport that's going to make someone else rich? It's not, yeah, you get a little bit of money, but the money you're getting is just a drop in the bucket compared to the big money that's being made. And that's why I say, too, we've got to be willing to make the sacrifices and so that we can benefit off of what it is that we're bringing to the table. Because in most cases, like I say, we get enough to keep us content. Yeah, and a few million will keep you content. I mean, it's good money. It's a lot of money. But then think, if they're able to give you a few million, how many million that they're sitting on, you know? And that's why I say, yeah, it's time to cut out the middleman. But then, too, getting everybody moving in the same direction is like just the damn near impossible thing to do, no matter I mean, and we all see the need. We all know what needs to be done, but acting on it, and like I say, getting 10% of the people on board is damn near impossible. Even effortless things such as boycotting, people will think of excuses of why not to boycott. You know, I mean, like, I enjoy a knee in the back of my damn neck. And then we're consistently seeing the double standard and the bias in this system. And those of us who are not ready to fight and change that, who are not willing to get off their ass and do something different, I really don't know what to say. It's depressing, to say the least. And I yield.
My man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your contribution, brother. Man, you know, I gotta continue to piggyback off of your point about starting our own, and you don't know if we'll be able to do that because of the. Because of the how we feel about and how we do each other, essentially, and it reminded me of remember that song by Gil Scott-Heron, "Winter in America." You ever ever heard that song?
No, I never heard it.
Yeah, Gil Scott-Heron, rest in peace, King Gil Scott-Heron. He said democracy is ragtime on the corner. And it really is, if you understand what ragtime, you know, Scott Joplin created, you know, black blues man created ragtime. So ragtime on the corner means utter chaos, pretty much. Confusion, if you will. So there's no question as to, like I said, when I piggyback off one of your points, man, I'm guided by the fact that you have the way you make yourself so clear in your description when it comes to making how we do each other, like you said, when you said it's depressing, and that hurts me, and that's why I said you can't be hopeless, man. And I know you're not, and I know you're devoted, but when you say it, and it is, it can be depressing. Our plight. It can be depressing, but you can't give up. You know, can't give up the hope. And I know I'm not. You're not. And again, going back to the point of, you know, why beg for these jobs, man, when we could create or have some measure of manufacturing something based on an infrastructure, based on a solid platform. Where, you know, like we discussed on these airways before about a tree rooting and good roots. I don't think we can continue begging for these positions that they don't want us in. They made it painfully clear that they don't want us in these positions. So why keep begging for these spots? I mean, that's what the whole reason behind black colleges. Because they didn't want us in their schools. First of all, they didn't want us to read. Let alone up in their schools, once we learn to read.
Yes, because premise. We excel.
So why
we
not?
Excel.
Is what I'm asking.
We excel. We excel in everything. Everything that we do, we take it to another level. That's why they work so hard to keep us out of their schools and out of their organizations and out of their corporate. Because we take things to a whole nother level, and the world knows that. I mean, shit, look at it. I mean, only thing that we really haven't touched is hockey and NASCAR, and they working hard to keep us out of those, you know. And then I, too, say, why do we even keep trying to coexist with these people? Why do we keep trying to interact with them when whatever it is that they're doing, we created it in the first place? And yeah, that's why they don't like our participation and want our participation, because we excel well past what they will ever achieve. And that's just, I say that without biting my tongue, without any type of arrogance, but it's just fact. We are a more superior being, physically and mentally. It's just my opinion.
Only thing they've done, only thing they've excelled at is destruction, where we excel in creation. They excel in destruction or devaluing. It's the word devil. But I digress. I won't discount with any of that. With you saying that, just reminds me of how much of that that's been created by us that they've taken and taken credit for, and we've been, and our achievements have been discounted. And that's again. That's why I'm asking why I continue to beg and assimilate to these positions where they can easily, where they don't want you and will easily dismiss your ass once they're not satisfied or once they're done with your ass. It's that simple. How many examples do we need? How many brothers and sisters need to be vilified for doing a great job, like Brian Flores did, took a shit team and had two winning seasons, and then he got fired. And now they're offering him, like you mentioned earlier, brother, now they're offering him a job as a coordinator or something with some other team. Who knows? I'm not exactly sure. But there's still a civil suit involved, and then not to mention there's class action suits still pending. So what the fuck? And again, my question is why, when we have the ability to pool all these viable resources together that I know exist, that I know people want to do, but because of the constraints of the almighty dollar and massa, they won't come off that money. And for the other reasons, as Brother Kevin was discussing, you know, people ain't trying to separate themselves from the money like that. But for this reason, like Nas said, you know, everybody love Nas. Like Nas spelled it out. We pull this money together, we can create something, a foundation to build on, a tree, if you will, a well-rooted tree that's going to bear great fruit if we just pull these resources together. Instead of begging for a piece of the pie. Fuck the pie. I mean, fuck a piece. I want, come on now. This ain't the Jeffersons. And the stark reality is we've been begging for so long, it seems like we're conditioned to have expectations, and we're conditioned to feel like we're owed something. Yeah, I said it. When the fact, with the stark reality is, world don't owe you shit. If anything, you owe something to the world, as in some kind of contribution, instead of fucking complaining. And I can use a number of examples. Instead of begging and complaining, do something. Put something in motion. Have some motivation. Have some pride, some professional pride, some racial pride. Have some black pride. Man, damn. What happened? Again, my question is, why do we continue to beg for these positions? And we're seeing all these examples of how they don't want us in these positions, yet we continue to beg to be put in these positions, executive positions, head coaching, And for what? To eventually be dismissed and possibly vilified and ridiculed and humiliated and have your family subjected to that bullshit? Come on, man. Why? For some money? A little bit of money? Where's your dignity? Where's your sense of professional pride? Where's your example of leadership? Where's your example to your family? What you stand on? That's my question. And that's why we're talking about this. And again, reverting back to reparations. Why do we need to ask, why do we feel that we're owed something? And I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. Don't care. My question is, why do we feel that we are owed this monetary undetermined amount of a windfall for suffering when there's so much shit that we neglect and we don't take advantage of. So are we really worthy of reparations when we don't take advantage of opportunities, when we don't take advantage of the examples, when we don't take advantage of the building blocks that have been put before us, when we ignore and neglect those things, do we really deserve reparations? We gonna keep begging? We gonna keep begging this motherfucker that don't give them? We gonna keep begging the system? It makes no sense to me. It's utterly insane to complain when you realistically still in love with the plantation. Why are you complaining? Why are you not taking advantage? Why are you not using the building blocks and the stepping stones that the ancestors placed for you? Why are you complaining? Why are you not doing what you know you're supposed to be doing? Why are you not recognizing all the advantages that you have? All the energy, all that negative energy, why are you not using all that negative energy as motivation to propel yourself something greater? You've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. My name is Mark Higgins. I'm your host. It's been my pleasure. Everyone that's been listening online, all my guests tonight that contributed, greatly appreciated all your efforts. Everybody that's been listening in North America, overseas, greatly appreciated here in the Empowerment Zone. Really appreciate all the candor and all the knowledge bestowed on us in the zone here. And we got just a couple minutes before what we do here in the Empowerment Zone. We've discussed quite a bit tonight, and I hope that we've created a ripple effect and at least stirred your consciousness towards empowerment. Again, you'll be listening to the Empowerment Zone on Panther Party Radio Network. If you'd like to reach us and help us in all of our efforts, you can reach us at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Someone will get back to you, I assure you, once you leave your contact information, such as your name, your email, phone number, and someone will get back to you expediently. I promise you. As a reminder, may not be doing a show next Tuesday, as due to my goofy work schedule. I think I got a game next week, but that said, the next edition of the Empowerment Zone will be in 2 weeks, and we will have more pertinent topics to discuss as you will be notified as to what we will be discussing on the next installment of the Empowerment Zone. Again, thank you everyone from around the world, North America, my beloved Chicago, all my drivers, all my servers. I see you out there, DJ in LA, Queen Vanessa, please be careful. Be ultra careful. I know you know the rules out there, mama. Please be careful out there on the road. All my servers out there, when you get off tonight, please be careful. Be vigilant. Keep your eyes and ears peeled when you're leaving your establishments at 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning. Please be careful. Love you all. One love. Peace. All power to the people.
I want you to know that I want you to think. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for the people. Like we always said, if you actually make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment on this because of different reasons that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer, what you did, you did already. You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to see after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, even in people living. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?